Appreciate God and what He's doing. Appreciate the good song service again this evening. Appreciate you all being able to make it tonight, Brother Nathan. God bless y'all. Well, look what we would have missed out on if you would have had to stay home tonight. Thankful that God let you be well enough to be here and the rest of your family. Thank y'all for being here tonight. We appreciate that so much. We have just been overjoyed to be here these last few days, and God just, the Lord has gotten me hung up, I guess if I could say it like that, Spruce Pine terms, I'm hung up on treasure in earthen vessels. And it was not my intent to stay there. Never preached along these lines before, but I feel like we're going back to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 again tonight. It was funny because typically I take that water pot and put in Dad's office or in my car and take it home. And last night I left it sitting there. Didn't exactly know when I left what I was going to be preaching, but here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Want to begin reading in verse number 3. Appreciate each and every one of you being here today and tonight in the services. And I'll just say this, that Miss Gail has evidently fixed me some type of dessert for when I go home. She's got it sitting out in my car on ice. Miss Gail, glory, hallelujah. I'm praying for you, love you, wish you could be here with us in the service. I know you're watching, tuning in, and we pray for you every day at our church, and I don't deserve that you would take time to make me a dessert. I pray God reward you openly for your gift to me tonight. Now, I don't know if I'll share it with Miss Gina because there's a long way between here and home, and I didn't ride a camel. I rode a little old black vehicle out there tonight. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'm asking if you will please stand. We'll look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Verse 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Father, thank you for your precious word. And I appreciate these who've gathered in the house of the Lord tonight. Lord, I thank you for these who've tuned in online. Lord, I thank you for my wife and my children. Lord, I thank you for the church that you allow us to pastor. Thank you for the little school that you have just behind it back there. God, there's a little staff that you're assembling and some students, and I ask your blessing upon them. Father, I pray tonight for the Fletcher First Baptist Church and its dear pastor, my dad and my mother. God, this is home to me. It was in the old sanctuary when you first spoke to us about preaching the word. And I remember, Lord, you remember. I said, God, I don't even know if I could tell somebody really how to be saved. And in the same place I said it, fella, you had a fella grab me by the hem of my pants leg that said, Darren, I need to be saved. Right on the spot. And you saved him there as I prayed with him. And God, you've always lined it up. And I pray tonight, God, could empower us and help us to preach in the power and in the demonstration by the authority of the Holy Ghost of God. Speak to our hearts, Lord, for we desire to hear. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for staying tonight. You may be seated. On Sunday evening, the Lord had us look in the book of John chapter 2 about this these treasures in earthen vessels and about the water pots that were at the wedding and their significance. And then last evening, the Lord took us back to the book of Genesis chapter number 24 and we looked at pictures of proposal, the story of Rebecca. Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Tonight I believe it would be pleasing to the Lord to look back at another very familiar passage concerning the treasure in earthen vessels. In John chapter 4, I want to think about the witness of the water pot. The witness of the water pot. As we begin to read in John chapter 4, I want us to think about our first point, the consideration of the sinner. The Bible says in verse number 3, Jesus, He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and He must needs go through Samaria. Let us consider Jesus and the route that He's taking. Now, He's been in Judea, and the Pharisees had heard that Jesus' disciples had baptized more than John, and a ruckus was being made. And so Jesus left Judea. I will say this. I do not want Jesus to leave this church. I do not want Jesus to leave our families. The word to leave here simply means to leave alone to their own devices. Jesus, just let them stay there in their murmuring and their complaining. And I'll be honest with you, I don't want to be in that crowd either. Amen. And He headed for Galilee. But as He's going, He has a purpose. He must needs go through Samaria. The Lord Jesus is moving. And as He's moving, He's on a mission. Now, this is not the direct route from Judea to Galilee. He goes out of His way to go into the region called Samaria. Understand, Jesus has someone on His heart. Most of the Jews would always go around Samaria. You see, Samaria is a group of Jews that began to intermarry with the Assyrians. They began to have children. And this group that came up, the Samaritans, only believed the first five books of the Bible, and they began to incorporate many false doctrines. And because they were only considered to be half Jews, there was racial tension, and there was social hostility. Greater than we face today. You cut on your TV, you see demonstration in the streets, you see violence and mayhem on every hand. But we have no idea at the racial hostility and the social injustice that was in Jesus' day. And Jesus must needs go through Samaria. Samaria is an unfriendly territory for the Jews. But Jesus is willing. He's filled with grace and with mercy. I remember the night, don't you, that He came by your way. When the world says we don't want you, Jesus came one night down there to Balfour Baptist Church when the preacher was preaching, and He convicted my soul and saved me that night. Thank God Jesus has made sinners His mission. Think about His motive. He's come to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus is not caught up with culture. Jesus is not caught up with your race. Jesus is not caught up with your differences. Consider His route. Will you consider His rest? Look in verse 5. Then cometh He to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with His journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Jesus has traveled a great distance, and He's exhausted. He's full man, full God. He's weary. Can you imagine? Some of you may have a treadmill, and you walk a mile or two or three or four, and you'll get sweaty, and you'll get exhausted just walking a few miles. Jesus walked many, many, many miles out of His way for His purpose of seeing and saving the sinner. And He's looking as He comes there to Sychar. He's looking for a place to rest. And He's found the place. He's come to a place and a village called Sychar near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now consider for a moment. I preach a lot about Noah's Ark. And I thought about Noah. When the flood was over and Noah was considering when it would be time to step out of the ark, he released two birds out of the window. One was a raven and one was a dove. We know that the dove came quickly back because there was no vegetation for her to light on. But the raven, being a scavenger, loving dirty, rotten, filthy flesh, had carcass after carcass to and carry on to enjoy. And the scavenger, the raven, never came back. The dove was looking for a place to rest its feet. Fletcher First Baptist, Jesus is looking for a place to rest. Can He sit down with you a while? Woo! Hallelujah! He's found a place. The Bible tells us that it's Jacob's well. And He sat thus, the Bible said, on the well. Look at the period. It was the sixth hour, 12 o'clock, high noon, hot. Jesus is weary, and He sits down. Now, most people, typically the women, they would go out and get water in the evening time because it's cool. Or they would come early in the morning to get water because it's cool. Water for the day or water for the evening time. But it's 12 o'clock noon. And people are not gathered around the well on this occasion. My Bible says in verse 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Number one, there is the consideration of the sinner. Jesus considered our plight, and He came down to this world and gave His life that you and I might be saved. And He was raised up on the first day of the week. And He saw fit to send a preacher and the Word of God and the Spirit of God to preach to you and declare the marvelous truth that you might be saved. Thank God, Jesus went out of His way to bring you in. And as He finds looking for a place to sit down, and as He does, He has a conversation with a sinner. Here comes a woman, a Samaritan woman, and she's got with her a water pot. I would remind you that her water pot is empty. That's why she's come to draw water and to fill it. I would remind you that she comes at 12 o'clock because she can't come in the evening time. The women don't want anything to do with her. She's a social outcast and a reject. She can't come early in the morning with the other people. She's an outcast and a reject, and she knows it. She's living a life of rejection, a life, basically, of isolation. And she comes to that well at 12 o'clock noon and sees this man sitting on the well. The Bible says that Jesus struck up a conversation with him. He said, "Give me to drink." I was just reminded that when Abraham sent his servant to go out and find a wife for the son, that the servant brought 10 camels, and he said, "Lord, if it be pleasing to you, whenever I ask that lady, give me to drink, let her not only give me to drink, but let her water the 10 camels too." And she, the same verbiage, "give me to drink." Now look with me. Verse 8 says, parentheses, a parenthetical statement, inside information, a whole message here, "for his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat." I'm glad they're gone. They would have hindered what Jesus was trying to do, going into Samaria to see the Samaritan woman. Verse 9. "Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Now just imagine, Jesus, who measured the waters in the hollow of his hand. You know what, that one time at the house, I was at the sink, I was going to preach, and I was trying to figure out how much water I could hold in my hand. And Pastor, I found out that I could hold 2 to 3 teaspoons full of water in my hand before it escaped off the edge or through the webbing of my fingers. 2 to 3 little teaspoons. That's all I could hold. And I read Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 12 about our God who measured the waters, the Atlantic, the Pacific, the Indian, the Mediterranean Sea, the Gulf of Mexico, the mud hole in your front yard. He measured every drop of water in his hand and did not spill a drop. And here he is, living water himself, sitting on a well, thirsting, and asking a Samaritan woman for a drink of water. Can you just imagine that conversation? This woman, she has a water pot, all right, that she's toting around. She has a water pot of prejudice. "How is it that thou, being a Jew, would ask me, a woman of a Samaria, a Samaritan woman, ask me for a drink?" Do you hear her Samaritan prejudice? Do you hear her resistance to the conversation? Jesus said in verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." She's carrying her prejudice, her water of prejudice. There are some that I've talked to and witnessed to about Jesus that said to me, "I am a Christian." I said, "How do you know that you're a Christian? Tell me about your walk with the Lord." Well, I want you to know that I'm a Christian because I was born in America. America is a Christian nation, and that makes me a Christian. La-di-da-da. Wrong answer. That will not work. "Well, I'm a Christian because I'm a certain skin color. Listen, your prejudice will not get you into heaven. It is an empty water pot. There is another water pot that she's got. It's a water pot of possessions. After all, the water pot is hers. Oh, how she loved it every day. She came at least once, maybe more, to fill it up, and she worked from it all day and emptied it back, and then she'd carry it back again every... Oh, how she loved it. It's her water pot. Look at verse 11. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? In other words, Samaritans and Jews do not use the same utensils. We couldn't drink from the same dipper. We shouldn't be drinking from the same well. We shouldn't be using the same water pot. And after all, this water pot belongs to me, and the dipper and the bucket belong to me. I am a Samaritan, and it is mine. There are many who trust in their possessions, their riches, their ability, their talents. They are self-reliant. And she said, it's a deep well. Oh, yeah, trust in yourself. It's a deep thing. That well was probably over 100 feet deep. And I'll tell you something. Your possessions, your self-reliance, your talent, your ability, I wouldn't trust my own ability and my own talent for 1 second. Not on the best day of my life would I trust for 1 second that being good enough to get me into heaven. It is nothing more than a bubble that you chase and it pops and it's over. Your possessions, thank God for them, but they're an empty water pot. Here today, gone today. You'll not buy your way, preacher dear. I've been coming to Fletcher First Baptist for 26 straight weeks. I've not missed one service. I've been in Sunday school. Well, you wasn't last week. Hey, man, listen. You can't trust what you do, your works and your possessions, to get you in. It will not work. There's another water pot that she's got. And I'm using all these to start with the letter P. Her predecessors. Her pedigree. Look at verse 12. She says to Jesus, Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? In other words, she says to Jesus, not only is this my water pot, my dipper, my utensils, I've got many possessions. She says, I want you to know that I have descended from my father Jacob. I don't think I'd brag about that too much. You know what his name means? Deceiver. Con artist. I don't think I'd be bragging. But she was bragging about her inheritance. She was bragging about her heritage. Oh, Jacob's Well is a significant place in history. But there's a lot of people that trust their inheritance. And I want to tell you something, honey. It's a water pot that's run empty. I'll have you to know that my grandpa was a preacher. That means I'm saved. It means grandpa was saved, hopefully, and preached the gospel for all those years. Amen. I'll have you to know that my family donated a pew to that church, and that makes me right with God. I'll have you to know that I'm dedicated and my family dedicated a window to the church, and that makes me right with God. No. Your heritage. I appreciate your great ancestors. When I was running my family tree and we was chasing this and going to that website and looking at this and trying to chase it down. And I want to tell you, Dad knows, we ran back to some really, really interesting people in our family tree. I want to tell you who I'm related to. Come here, man. I'm going to tell you. Sinners. Hog-gut sinners. Ever stinking rotten one of them on their way to a devil's hell, lived wicked lives,
and needed to be saved and forgiven by the blood of Jesus and by the grace of God they got in. Thank God my family tree is an old rugged cross. And I had a new birth there. And I'm in a new family. And I praise God for it. Hallelujah to God. Don't brag about your heritage being enough to get you in. Look at verse 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water, he's probably pointing at Jacob's well. If you drink of this water, you will thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Woo-wee. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. I'm embarrassed. I have to come isolated, separated. I'm embarrassed. I have to come at 12 o'clock. I don't have any friends. And everybody's gossiping, talking about me. Give me this water so I won't be thirsty anymore. Give me this water so I won't come this well. I'll be honest with you. I think she's really ridiculing him. Like there's no such thing that can stop me from being thirsty. I was trying in preparation for the message to count how many bottles of water and glasses of water I drank today. In fact, when I got in the car, I was actually burning up when I got in the car. I was dying of thirst, and I ran back to the refrigerator to get me one more bottle of water so I'd have one for driving down the road before I come seeing you people. You know why? I was thirsty. I was physically wanting to. I was thirsty. But Jesus said, if you'll get the water that I give, you'll never thirst again. Let me tell you. I got saved on July 13th, 1978, and it's still good tonight. It's not run out. Praise God, it's still good. Woo! Hallelujah. Well, where was we? Verse 16. Here's another water pot. She's got empty water pots. She's trusting now another water pot. What's Jesus' conversation with her? He's got her interest. She's kind of ridiculing. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, thou hast no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. And he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that saidst thou truly. You know, she's trusting water pot of partnership in marriage. She was trusting relationships. There's a lot of people. Hear me. Jesus said, woman, you just told me that you have no husband. You've had five husbands. And you're shacked up. I hope I can say that word and it'd be okay. You're shacked up living with number six. But she met a man sitting on the well that's the seventh man in her life. Seven's a good number. God's number. She's met a seventh man sitting right there on the well. There are a lot of people that look for satisfaction in relationships, in marriages. How many of y'all remember Preacher Billy Kelly? A bunch of you. Oh, Billy Kelly, boy, he'd sing Amazing Grace so many times. One time he stood up, he told me, he said, son, I've sung Amazing Grace so many times I could stand up and sing it backwards. I said, what? He said, watch this. Amazing Grace. I thought, oh, preacher, you just won't do. He told me, he said, I went to the hospital to visit this little old lady, and she said, preacher, you look to me like my eighth husband. He said, have mercy, honey. How many husbands have you had? She said, seven. This woman is drawing water at noon because she's had five husbands living with a sixth husband, and there are rumors and gossip everywhere that she's always looking for a date, trying to find satisfaction in some man. Sir, you'll not find satisfaction in some woman either. satisfaction is only found in Jesus Christ. And when you have Him in your marriage, woo, that's a good thing. Amen. But she's thirsty and she's dry and her water pot of marriage, first one, it ran out. She got a second one, it ran out. She got a third one, it ran out. Do you see the pattern? Always out and empty, thirsty and dry. Look with me. Another water pot, verse 19. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. In other words, how in the world did you know? When I told you I've had no husband, how'd you know I'd had five husbands and I was living with the sixth one? How'd you? You must be a prophet, sir. Oh, it's a water pot of philosophy and religion. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. She started talking religion. There are people that look to religion for personal fulfillment. There are folks that I believe attend church week after week. It's become a habit. And they're just as lost can be. It's not about where you worship. It's who you worship. I want you to know that there are a lot of people. I want to look at Matthew chapter number 7. As you're turning there, I've just been the pastor at Bethel and Spruce Pine, I think maybe 3 years at the time. I'd go out visiting, knocking on doors. I know you can't do it now because of COVID, and we've cut a lot of that back, but I went visiting, knocking on doors, and I knocked on doors. And these people came to the door, and I said, listen, I'm relatively a new pastor in the community, and was here to maybe invite you to church, want to know if y'all were Christian folk, if you're interested in knowing Jesus. And they said, oh, no, we know Jesus. We got church-going folk. And I said, oh, well, praise God. That's wonderful. I wouldn't want to take anybody from their church. I might ask you where you go to church. And they said, yeah, well, we go to Bethel Baptist Church just down the road down there. I said, oh, really? I don't know these people. They're probably watching me right now. And I said, can you tell me who the pastor is? I'm just new over here. And they said, well, I don't really know his name. I said, well, how long has he been there? They said, I don't know, probably 2-3 years, something like that. They claim to know Jesus, and they claim to be faithful going to church. And I've been the pastor there 3 years at least, and have never seen them darken the doors. But immediately they want to start talking about religion to get me off their back. It's a water pot. I don't care who your pastor is. I don't care how many times you attend that church. Standing in a carport does not make you a Buick. Sitting in a church does not make you a Christian. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7 and in verse 21, Jesus' words, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name have done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I've seen preachers get saved. Preacher, you don't mean it. I've had men that sat and stood in the pulpit and preached, got saved after they were preaching. Just about 2 years ago or so, in the church where I pastored, I'd preached on the great white throne, and the altars were full. I'd asked for a show of hands, anybody in the altars that were in trouble, that I might come and pray with them if they believed they were lost. Not one hand was raised. People weeping in the down the aisleways and all the way across the altar. So I just bowed my head and snuck down like a pretzel. And I started praying. I said, God, I don't know. I'm going to be responsible for these folk. And Lord, I don't know that they're all saved. And I'm trying, Lord, I've tried, please. About that time, one of them grabbed me behind the pulpit, grabbed my arm. And I looked up, was one of the best deacons in our church. I looked at him. He said, preacher, I'm not asking you to understand. You're going to think I'm crazy when I say this, but I need to be saved. I said, are you sure? First thing I did was start asking him if he was doubting his salvation because of his position, because of his faithfulness to the house of God. I myself would have been fooled. But he said, preacher, I knew you was going to say it, but I don't have anything, sir, to doubt. I've been coming here just for a few years now. I came to this church. God's been working on me, and I am so sorry, but I'm going to hell, preacher, and I need to be saved, and I don't care what any of them think about it. And I said, okay. And he got gloriously saved. When everybody was returning to their pews, he stood up and leaned over the pulpit and said, church, I know you're going to think I'm crazy. I know you're going to think I'm just doubting and I'm just being emotional, but I'm telling you, as God is my witness, I've never been saved until just now. And you could see the glory of God all over him. And man, it swept through that congregation, and we've seen about 140, maybe 150 people saved in the church, or people coming to attend the church. Unbelievable. Thank God it happened before the COVID jumped all over everybody. And I'm telling you, it's just possible. My grandmother taught Sunday school for years before she ever got saved. Hey, many will say, Lord, Lord, didn't I sing in the Fletcher Choir? Lord, Lord, didn't I teach in the What a Program? Lord, Lord, wasn't I Sunday school teacher? Lord, Lord, look at it again. Lord, I know my name is there. But all you did every Sunday was carry a water pump and played religion and philosophy, and it sounded good. You trusted your good moral marriage, and you trusted some things, some heritage, and some wonderful blessings that you have in your life, and you thought things are going pretty good. I've got to have it. But there has to be a moment that you get lost. There has to be a moment that you humbled yourself and said, Lord, it's not about my family. It's not about my possessions. It's not about even who I am. It's about Jesus. And I'm a sinner. And Jesus is the Savior. Would you forgive me? Wash me in your blood. I believe you died and rose again. Oh, and if you'd call on him, he'd save you. Oh, there's another water pot that this woman's kept. Preacher, when are you going to stop till you get it? You start hollering amen, we'll get out of here. Thank you. Look with me. Jesus, now go back with me to the book of John. Jesus said to her, when she started her religious discussion, Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me. The hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. For the hour cometh and now, what does that mean? Present. Now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God demands that you worship him through his Son. God desires the worship of your family, of your individual person, and the worship collectively of this church. Turn to John 5. Verse 23, I hope you're listening close. This is a very important verse. John 5:23 says that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son
honoreth not the Father which hath sent me. This crowd that says, oh, I worship God. If you're not worshiping God through Jesus Christ the Son, you've got a water pot that's empty and dry, and you're going to be left thirsty and barren on your way to the lake of fire. The only way you'll be able to worship is in spirit and truth, based on the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. One more water pot, I'll be done. When Jesus said, they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth, the woman saith unto Him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will tell us all things. The water pot of profession. She had a head knowledge. Look what she knew. I know when Messiah comes, which is called Christ, He will tell us all things. Head knowledge, not a heart knowledge. I'm not trying to convince you you're lost. I'm not trying to convince you you're saved. But I want you to know that you can know that you're saved. You can know that Jesus lives inside you by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can know that. She has a water of profession, and that is reality, and it has run out. Look at her conversion. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. Did you know that in the reading tonight, Jesus spoke to her 7 times? That's interesting. At about that time, upon this, came His disciples and marveled that He talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? But it's what they're thinking. When they walked up on it, they didn't say a word. Watch her conversion. The woman then left her water pot, and she went her way in the city, and saith to the men, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto Him. She reacted in faith to His words. I that speak unto thee am He. And she left her water pot. She came to draw water. She was thirsty, wanting a drink to put in that water pot. But she left her water pot because she got the well. Treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Look at her change of activity. She got the well. No longer does she need a water pot. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. She's got a new ambition. She's not trying to be separated and isolated. She ran out into the city and began to tell people, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Look, she told the men. The women didn't want to hear. They hated her. She's not looking for a rendezvous. She's talking about the Redeemer. She's not looking for a date. She's talking about the Deliverer. Amen. And they came, they began to go out into the city to meet Him. Look at her change of acknowledgement. Would you look very carefully back at the text? Look at this. Verse 9. When she first met Him, look what she called Him. She called Him a Jew. Do you see it? Say amen if you see it. She called Him a Jew. By verse 11, she called Him Sir. And she called Him that a couple times. By verse 19, she called Him a prophet. But in verse 29, honey, she called Him the Christ, the anointed one, the chosen of God. It was a mighty, powerful work of grace that left her a forgiven and a changed, redeemed woman. I don't care if you want to keep whispering about her. It's amazing women sometimes. I'm going to get after y'all. Y'all would forgive a murderer quicker than you'll forgive a lady that you go to church with. You're welcome.
Fellas, you'll forgive some guy off death row. Bring him up here. He got saved. You're, woo, glory to God, hallelujah. But let your neighbor do you wrong and come say, I'm sorry. It's all you can do to forgive that fellow that treated you like a scoundrel. Oh, no. And we say we're right with God. You know what I think? I think somehow, years ago, you left your water pot because he gave you a well. But somewhere along the way, you came back to your, oh man, there's so much fighting on Facebook about heritage. I'll be honest, I'm about ashamed of my heritage. We sinners. I got saved. I need to tell people about Jesus. I see people fussing and fighting, but I sure don't see people telling people about Jesus. We picked up our water pots again. God did not call you into the water pot toting business.
I'll have you to know, Pastor Barron, I don't have a water pot. I left it a long time ago.
I got one. All of a sudden, I began to pick up things that I cared about again and started worrying and fretting and trusting things which I should never trust. How are we doing now, church? The Lord said, do you really trust me? COVID's all around us. I'm telling you, y'all, if we're not careful, we need to admit we've picked up our water pot and we need to set it back down and say, Lord, you're the treasure in the earthen vessel. How many of y'all remember the old Eckerd's drugstore? It was owned by a man by the name of Jack Eckerd. When he got saved, he walked into one of his drugstores, and as he walked through the bookshelves of the magazines, he saw pornography for sale right there in front of everybody on his bookshelves. He had seen them many times before, but it never bothered him back then. But now he's put down his water pot, and he's looking at those things with new eyes as a Christian. He called the president of the company and said, take them filthy magazines out of my stores. The president said, you can't mean that, Mr. Eckerd. We make millions and millions of dollars a year on those things. He said, I said, take them out of my stores. God is not pleased. And in 1,700 stores across America, he took out pornography off of his shelf. And by one man's decision, giving his life to Christ, leaving his water pot, that water pot now is a witness that he's a changed man. He's not walking the way he used to, not doing the things he used to. Other drug stores did the same thing, and the 7-Eleven convenience stores picked up and followed and did the same thing. And when he was asked about it, somebody said, did God really tell you to get rid of those? He said, why would a man walk away from millions and millions of dollars of profit unless God put his finger on it and said, this is wrong for your life. Church, get away from the water pot toting business. Now I'm done right here. You stand to your feet. I'm supposed to tell this. Some years ago, sitting at all, come here, brother. He knows he's supposed to come up here. Just come here. Hallelujah. I hadn't seen him in years, but he came tonight to hear me preach. And when I pulled in the parking lot, he was parking his truck. Tell him your name. And old Roy here, we were sitting at the hospital to see some of his family members in ICU. And she was dying. Dad said, pull the plug 2 or 3 times on her, pull the plug. But her husband wouldn't pull the plug. We were sitting in the waiting room. Brother Camp was sitting across the way from me. I seen some type of a coin up underneath his chair. And you know what lost coins represent? Lost souls. And I started telling the whole waiting room
about Jesus. And I said, maybe her sickness is related to the fact that God wanted to save somebody here. Well, nobody moved or nothing. But when it was over, about between 11 and 12 o'clock at night, he called me and said, Preacher Darren,
I got to drive all the way to Tennessee to meet Darren right here.
In your parking lot.
In your parking lot. You know what? The Lord saved a wretched soul like mine. He can save anybody. The song, I'm thankful. I just want to thank you.
Yeah.
Just thank you.
Amen.
Everything is not perfect, but He is.
Amen.
Every day. When I get down, you pick me up. And I get down. I'm the one that picked up the pot. But He gets me to set it back
down. Amen.
He can hold me.
Amen. I didn't know he was going to be here tonight when I pulled in. I hadn't seen him in I don't know how many years.
I don't need to turn it. You know, you remember, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. As soon as I seen him in the parking lot, I said, that's Brother Roy. I remember he got saved right here. And I know what I'm preaching on tonight. And God has performed another miracle before our eyes. And you heard him say, even he himself at times, goes back and picks up that old water pot. Now I'll say this. I sure am glad when I was at the hospital, sitting there to see this lady in ICU that did say, pull the plug on, pull the plug on. But I wasn't carrying a water pot. But I was willing to testify about a man named Jesus. I'd set down my water pot and said, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And you know what happened? He began to follow Jesus after he got saved. I say glory, hallelujah. Church, it's time to set down the water pot and let us have the treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Thank you for helping me preach, Brother Roy. Now, will somebody come to piano? Your head's bowed. There might be somebody. You'd slip out right now to this altar and say, oh God, help me to sit down in the water pot. Thank you, Lord. Years ago, you saved me. Thank you, God, for delivering me. Help me, God, to be a testimony. I had more verses I was going to read, but God just said, stop right now. Come on, mind him. Mind him right now. God bless you. Folks are moving all around. Folks are moving all around. Trust him tonight. Step out in faith. Be obedient. Be obedient, church. Be obedient. Be obedient. Let the Spirit of God well up in you and be obedient to what he says do. Folks are moving. All over the house. Oh, bless his good name. Our Father and our God, as I bow my head before you tonight, Lord, I give you honor. I give you glory. I give you praise. What a Savior. Lord, there you found me just a tow-headed, freckle-faced boy and saved this old sinner boy. Told me I was looking for satisfaction in all the wrong things, trying to find satisfaction in friends and relationships and trying to look good and be prideful. But God, you broke me down, convicted me of my sins and saved my soul. And now the only one I want to please is Jesus. God, help us tonight. Father, thank you for sending Brother Roy. I've not talked to him in years. Thank you, Lord, that he's here with us tonight to share his testimony. God, I ask your blessing upon him and upon his family. Touch him, Lord. Help him, God, I pray, to serve you in the beauty of holiness. God, I pray for the Fletcher First Baptist Church. God, if there'd be a water pot toter here, God, they'd set it down and say, Lord, why'd I pick this back up? Why'd I get this hold of this thing again? Lord, you're the only one can satisfy me. You've already told me that, declared that, and helped me to be a testimony and stand in the excellency of the power of God. This earthen vessel that I am, God, use me, cleanse me, purge me, fill me, help me, God, to stand for the cause of Christ. God, that you might get the glory and that you might have the honor. Thank you, God, for that little woman in John chapter 4 that Jesus must needs go through Samaria and he must needs go through Fletcher tonight. God, thank you for Jesus. And for this I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. And amen.